humanity is destined to fail. On two occasions in the Tanakh, humanity has perfection within its grasp and throws it away. Adam and Eve were created to enjoy eternal bliss in the Garden of Eden. God gave them one commandment: do not eat from the tree of knowledge. They ate from it anyway. As a result, God exiled them into a cursed existence where death and sin are everyday occurrences. At the foot of Mount Sinai, the Jews experienced a dramatic revelation of God. At that moment, they reached new spiritual heights. The Talmud and Midrashim explain that there they returned to the level Adam and Eve held in the Garden of Eden before the sin. Moses then ascends to receive the Lusho, the tablets inscribed with the Ten Commandments. But the Jews are too impatient to wait for him. The same people who had stood trembling before God just a few days earlier now create a golden calf. Moses returns to find his own people worshipping an idol, and smashes the Lushot in the ground. A glorious future awaits the Jews at Mount Sinai, but they impulsively choose to throw it all away instead. Both of these sins seem absurd, but that is the point. Failure is part of the world's design. In Kabbalah, the concept of Shevirat HaKelim, the breaking of the vessels, emphasizes that the world could not fully absorb God's presence. Brokenness is embedded in the process of creation. This is how evil emerges, and along with it, failure, sin, and death. When humanity stands at the threshold of perfection, fate intervenes to ensure that it fails. This presents a grim picture of reality. Some theologians argue that humanity is cursed. Augustine of Hippo's view, which is very influential in Christianity, asserts that Adam and Eve's original sin taints all of humanity. Every person inherits their sin from birth. Augustine writes that no one is free from sin in God's sight, not even an infant whose span of earthly life is but a single day. Ever since Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge, human nature has been so badly corrupted that every baby is born a sinner. Only God's grace can redeem humanity from sin. Judaism takes a dramatically different approach and embraces failure. The fall of man in the Garden of Eden is not a fall at all. On the contrary, it opens the door to greater personal growth. The fundamental texts for this idea are found in rabbinic commentaries about the second Lusho. After Moses breaks the first Lusho, God agrees to give the Jews a second set of Lusho. It is a humble affair. The Midrash says that God intentionally gave the second Lusho to Moses quietly, and instead of holding them high before the crowds, Moses took the second Lusho down from Mount Sinai in a wooden box. Everyone was still recovering from the sin of the first Lusho, and there was no appetite for fanfare. Yet these second Lusho hold the key to grappling with failure. They are the foundation of two critical concepts: repentance and the rabbinic traditions of Torah Shebol Peh. There is a significant difference between the first and second Lusho. While God created the first Lusho, Moses had to chisel the stone for the second one himself. The rabbinic tradition focuses on Moses's involvement in creating the second Lusho, and sees it as carrying powerful symbolism. Human engagement will shape the Torah from now on. Strikingly, many commentaries see the second set of Lusho as superior, not despite being man-made, but because they are man-made. This Midrash Shemot Rabbah is one of the earliest sources to make this claim. Moses began to grieve over the breaking of the tablets, and the Holy One, blessed be He, said to him, "Do not grieve over the first tablets, which contained only the Ten Commandments alone, for in the second tablets I will give you something greater, such that they will contain Halasho, Midrash, and Agado." Human initiative will allow the flourishing of the rabbinic tradition. Rabbi Naftali Svi Berlin takes this idea a step further and explains, "Regarding the first tablets, the power of innovation was not granted. But with the second tablets, the power was granted to every diligent student to innovate halacha through Talmudic reasoning. For this very same reason, the Holy One commanded that the second tablets be hewn by the hand of Moshe, not because the Jewish people no longer merited a divine handiwork, but to teach that the halacha which is innovated through the power of these tablets is a combination of human effort together with heavenly assistance, just as these tablets themselves were the product of Moshe's labor combined with God's writing." the second Lusho, are the foundation of Torah Shibo Pei, which will enable generations of Jews to engage in an ongoing conversation with the divine. In good times and in bad, in Israel and in exile, Jews will continue to read and reread sacred texts to offer guidance for every situation. The depth and richness of the rabbinic texts that have been written are astounding, so much so that Rav Zadok of Lublin says the insights of the rabbis are even greater than prophecy. Rabbinic tradition also focuses on a second detail, the date when the second Lusho were given was the first Yom Kippur. A second century Midrash, Seder Olam Rabbah, offers a 120-day chronology that spans from Shavuot to Yom Kippur. Organized around three periods of 40 days, it begins with the revelation on Mount Sinai on Shavuot. 40 days later comes the giving and breaking of the first Lusho on the 17th of Tammuz. 40 days after that, on the first day of Elul, comes God's call to Moses to return to Mount Sinai for a second set of Lusho. Finally, Moses brings the second set of Lusho to the Jews on Yom Kippur. The Maharal of Prague makes a remarkable claim: Yom Kippur was instituted because of the second Lusho. Had there not been a smashing of the first Lusho, there would be no day dedicated to atonement and repentance. Without the second Lusho, the Jewish calendar would have been radically different. Yom Kippur reconfigures the Jewish calendar and puts repentance at the center. What God expects of humanity is not perfection, it is improvement. The real hero of our imperfect world is one who masters the ability to repent. The Talmud says, "In the place where the repentant person stands, a completely righteous person cannot stand." Perfect righteousness is actually inferior to repentance. There is no growth and creativity. Without the longing and passion that come with failures and mistakes, without the introspection required by repentance, one cannot become the best possible version of themselves. At Mount Sinai, the sin of the tree of knowledge is finally overcome. But not for long. The sin of the golden calf returns humanity to a state of imperfection, with death, failure, and tragedy. And that is a good thing. Without imperfection, life would be a bore. Simple-minded, untroubled piety is unimpressive and spiritually empty. We are meant to serve God with all of our souls. That means with a profound and complex inner life, including failure, inner turmoil, and transformation. We were not meant to be automatons. The second Lusho usher in a challenging age of mortality and moral pitfalls. But they open the door to a conversation with God filled with creativity and growth. They allow humanity to use vulnerability as a vehicle for personal transformation and intellectual ferment. This is the blessing of a broken world, and it is a blessing that Judaism embraces. Rabbi Chaim Steinmetz is the senior rabbi of Congregation Kehith Jeshurun in New York.